Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We invest heavily in the few years we have on earth. But most of us invest very little in the life that follows after we die. In a parable, Jesus makes it clear that we need to reset our priorities and live now in view of the real life yet to come. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes a series from the parables he's been calling You Can't Redo Life. Turn with us again to Luke chapter 12 for a final lesson on getting eternity right.
Now, I've already emphasized Jesus in context is not telling us to sell everything. He's asking us to use our money wisely, and that's why here at the Moody Church we have classes on how to do that, how to budget, how to live within your means so you don't go into debt, how to save, how to give. But the point is this, that all of life is preparation for eternity. I've never done this, but when I'm on a plane and somebody says, what do you do for a living? Maybe what I should do is I'm saying, well, I'm full-time trying to prepare for eternity. That ought to get a nice conversation going. That's what Jesus is teaching here. And so there's a lesson about greed. There's a lesson for us about life. And then, of course, because he confused time and eternity, there's a lesson here about eternity, isn't there? You've heard me say this many times at the Moody Church, and I'm sure you will hear me say it again. Life is short, eternity is long, very long. If you were to take a measuring tape that would go from here to Mars, by the way, this past week, Rebecca and I were with a man who is an astronomer, and with a laser beam flashlight, he was pointing out all of the stars that are up there. And he seemed to know all of them by name and all these constellations and all of these relationships. And I was just looking at it and thinking, God, I mean, what a party you had when you just threw all that stuff together. And I asked him, I said, how many galaxies are there? And he said, 2 to the 10th power. Do you know how much that is? I mean, that would be a number this long. And if you were to have a measuring tape from here to Mars or beyond, this life could just be a little hairline in compared to eternity. And of course, if we wanted to compare it to eternity, we wouldn't stop with Mars, would we? We would go beyond that, all the way to eternity. No wonder Jesus said to this man, "You fool." The way in which you prepare for eternity, by the way, is not to give all your money away, is the first thing that you should do. You and I know that in order to really prepare to meet God, we are thankful that when Jesus died on the cross and was raised again from the dead, he paid for our sin so that we can be forgiven. Our sin can be wiped away. And that's the only way you'll get into heaven, by the way. You'll get into heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus applied to your account. And don't tell me that you're a Christian because you were baptized. It's possible to be baptized so often that the fish in Lake Michigan know your name and still be lost. And we saw some of them, I think, yesterday, asking what our names were. So don't think that you are it because you were brought up in a Christian home and you're a good person. There are plenty of people who are good who will never make it to heaven. You must trust Christ as your Savior to prepare for eternity. Would you remember that and get that straight? But the point is, yes. The point is, he prepared for time, but not eternity. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of a very wealthy farmer who was not known to me, but was known to the members of my family. His wife was a Christian. He came to church, just sat there, no spiritual interest at all. I marvel at that. miserable but totally content with his sin and unwilling to come to Christ to receive forgiveness. He owned much land, kept buying it up, and God gave him good crops. He was still relatively young, and he wasn't sick before this time, but he was driving his truck to the big city, and he was found dead, dead of a heart attack. God said, "Today, your soul is demanded of him." I wasn't at his funeral, but some of my relatives were, and they said that what they did at the funeral is they had a table where they memorialized him, and on the table they had a miniature grain elevator. They had, and some of you who weren't brought up on a farm won't know this, but they had a grease gun that's used to grease farm machinery, and even his overalls that he used to wear. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, is it really true that the person with the most toys at death wins? So this is what it comes down to. This is what it comes down to. For a rich man who had all the money in the world, who expected to live many, many years, and suddenly, without notice, his soul was demanded by God. And unless there's some mercy that we don't know about in his life, since he gave no evidence of being interested in receiving the gospel, perhaps he heard the words of Jesus, "You fool. You lived as if this was the only life there was, when this life's only purpose is to prepare for eternity." One day, Rebecca and I were in a funeral home, and we were actually looking at caskets. I never know whether they should be caskets or whether they should be called coffins. All that I know is, no matter what you call them, they look rather final when you think about the fact that someday you're going to be in one of them. But the lady who was demonstrating them to us showed us that some of them, I don't know if all of them do, they have a little drawer that you can pull out. The little drawer is maybe 1 foot by 1 foot and 2 inches deep, in which you can put something to memorialize and encapsulate the life of the person who died. She said, for example, there are some people who will put golf balls into it, because this guy was into golf. I tried golf one time, and I'm not into it. It took me 6 strokes to get a hole in one, so I've decided that I got to go with something else. But, you know, you put golf balls in there. I suppose if somebody liked to go to Las Vegas, you could put some dice in there when they die. If somebody was interested in politics, maybe you would put a book there that was their favorite author. Whatever it might be that somehow symbolizes their life. So I was looking at that little drawer, and I thought, I wonder what would fit in there when I die. Could I ask you a question? When you die, when your soul is demanded by God, what will be in that little box? What symbolizes your life? This rich man thought he had it made. God said, "Your soul is demanded tonight." And by the way, speaking of the sin of covetousness, you know, the other day I heard an ad on the newspaper or over the radio, like you've heard, you know, for advertising a casino. It gives all of the details, and it says, "Have a gambling problem? Call 1-3-4-5-6-7-8-9-9. They don't want anybody to get that phone number. Let me tell you something. There's not a casino on planet Earth that regrets having made somebody an addict. They're looking for addicts. I think that what Jesus is saying here, you've got a covetous problem? Sell your possessions, give them to the poor. Be generous. That'll take care of your covetousness. The bottom line, here's a man who mistook eternity for time, and in the day of judgment heard the awesome, horrid words of God, "You fool." Now, this message is intended for you. It's intended for you if you are a Christian. It is also intended for you, especially if you are an unbeliever here today. And there may be many with us today, pious, self-righteous, content, neglecting their soul. So I go back to the words of Jesus quoted earlier when he said so clearly, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Or what are you giving in exchange for your soul? If your soul has not been redeemed, hurry to Jesus. Ask him for cleansing, for forgiveness. Transfer your trust to him. Look upon him and be saved. Because someday, maybe not soon, but someday your soul will be required. Well, let's pray. Father, the passage is sobering. Forgive all of us, myself included, for living as if this is the only world that exists, forgetting that our real purpose of life is for eternity. Help us to prepare to meet our God, for your word says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God unprepared. For those who are here today who've never received Christ as Savior, would you cause them to believe? Maybe they're in the balcony, maybe they're in the lower part of the sanctuary. They may be listening on the internet or by radio, many who have joined us. At this moment, we pray, help them to believe on Jesus and be saved. We call on you to do what we can't. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you've just listened to the conclusion of a message titled, Getting Eternity Right. If you've received Jesus Christ as Savior as a result of this message, or if you have been blessed by Running to Win, why don't you pick up the phone and let us know? And also, in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. These messages based on the parables of Jesus that encourage us to do life correctly. We can't redo life, and the parables help us get it right the first time. What a sobering way to end this particular series. Jesus told us the story of this man whose soul was demanded by God. Everything appeared to be right by him. He seemed to be very, very successful. Reminds me of men that I have known who have died wealthy, but have died without faith in Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. Imagine God saying, "You fool." Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that you stay with us here on Running to Win. But next time, as we continue and begin a new series of messages, God bless you. I'll see you right here.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Getting Eternity Right, the last in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. We hope you've benefited from our time together in the parables of Jesus. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.